Everything is expensive these days, you know that. The government is printing trillions of dollars in consumer prices higher than ever. If the government continues its printing and spending, the dollar could continue its free fall and lose its coveted role as the world reserve currency. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But there are a few things you can do right now. American Hartford Gold can show you how to protect your money, your retirement, your hard-earned savings against inflation by helping you diversify a portion of your portfolio into physical gold and silver. Start with a short phone call, and they can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or put inside your 401k or IRA. So please call or text them right now. Tell them Bill O'Reilly sent you. Call 877-444-GOLD, 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532. Again, that's 877-444-GOLD, or text GOLD to 65532.
I'm Mike Slater from the podcast Politics by Faith. This is a crazy time in our country. It's stressful, a lot of anxiety, and it's going to get worse. And I realized that one of the things that helps me take away the stress is realizing that there's nothing new under the sun. So on this podcast, we take the news of the day and we run it through the Bible and other periods in history to realize that we've been through this before and we can rise above again. Politics by Faith, anywhere you listen to the podcast. Politics by Faith.
Hey, Bill O'Reilly here. Welcome to the No Spin News, Monday, April 1st, 2024. Stand up for your country. We're very emotional weekend with the funeral of Detective Jonathan Diller on Long Island. I wrote a column on it called Politics of Death. I hope you read the column on BillO'Reilly.com. Entirely free to read. Just go in there. And I also wrote the message of the day about the aftermath of attending the funeral, which I did. Now, this story is all about good and evil, which were in sharp contrast at the funeral of Detective Diller, and that is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. So, I attended the service at St. Rose of Lima Roman Catholic Church in Massapequa. As you know, I was raised on Long Island. I know this place as well as any human being knows it. I stood outside the church, and I watched thousands of police officers from all over the country in an emotional display, but also a display of power, that the police were there in force. And they were unbelievably disciplined, all right? They kept their posture, and it was ours. Then we went inside the church, which was heartbreaking. The officer, Jonathan Diller, as you know, was murdered by a career criminal last week, a criminal who should never have been on the street. Nobody can make an argument that he should have been. There's his one-year-old baby, okay? And this child will never know his father. And his widow, 29-year-old Stephanie Diller, is obviously devastated, but delivered a eulogy to her husband, which was magnificent. But in that time, in the body of the eulogy, most of it was spent on describing Jonathan and their relationship. But she did depart to scold politicians in New York State. Roll it.
It's been 2 years and 2 months since Detective Rivera and Detective Mora made the ultimate sacrifice, just like my husband, Jonathan Diller. Dominique Rivera stood in front of all the elected officials present today pleading for change. That change never came. And now my son will grow up without his father. I will grow old without my husband. And his parents have to say goodbye to their child. How many more police officers and how many more families need to make the ultimate sacrifice before we start protecting them?
And New York State and city does not protect innocent people. They don't protect either the police or their residents. They flat out do not protect them. No two sides to the story. The progressive philosophy, and progressives control this state, is that criminals, even violent criminals, need to be treated, not punished. And I will prove that in a moment. You cannot have a just society without confronting injustice. It's impossible. Yet the progressive politicians and the media in New York that backs them up, all right, they don't care about injustice, right? Because they believe that the whole justice system is rotten and biased against Black Americans. That is the genesis of all of this racial politics. Now, 80% of arrests in New York City are not fully adjudicated. What does that mean? The guy who killed, and I mean, I'm not going to say allegedly because there's witnesses to it, who killed Detective Diller, and he was promoted posthumously, detective. His name, Guy Rivera, okay? He's 34 years old. He's been arrested 21 times, served two prison terms. He's a drug dealer, okay? But get this. He's arrested 21 times. 19 of those arrests went nowhere because the DAs in New York City, with the exception of Staten Island, don't care about prosecuting guys like Rivera. So he can go out, sell heroin on the street, fentanyl on the street, beat you to a pulp, do anything he wants, and get away with it totally. They put him away twice, but for short periods of time. Now get this. Last April, 2023, Rivera is arrested for carrying an illegal gun. He's out. The case has not been adjudicated. And the city of New York is stonewalling us and won't tell us why Rivera was released after being arrested with a legal gun. I'm going to do more on this tomorrow because we're trying to get the information. City has it. They don't want to give it up because they know they're letting dangerous people out on the street to commit even more violent crimes. They know it, and they continue to do it. That's evil. Yes, the criminal is evil, but the people who enable him are evil too. There's no, again, no two sides to this story. Nobody will debate me on this. Nobody will come up against me on it. Okay, so tomorrow we're really pushing it, trying to find out why this dope dealer, arrested in April 2023, could sit in a car in Queens with a loaded gun and kill a 31-year-old New York City police officer. How is that possible after two convictions and 21 arrests? How? All right, presiding over all this madness is the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul. She is the leader of the state. She showed up to the wake, and there was a confrontation by one of the Diller family members. We believe it was an uncle. She only stayed about 10 minutes. Hochul is a weak leader, okay? I was standing yesterday, Saturday, next to Attorney General Letitia James. I was 5 feet away from her, all right? And we made eye contact. She nodded, I nodded, okay? Now, I don't think it was wrong, and I disagreed with my WABC radio colleague Sid Rosenberg about this morning. I don't think it was wrong for Hochul and James to go and show respect to the family. And my job is to try to persuade both of these women to stop the madness. Stop it. You have power. Do the right thing. That's my job. Sid condemns them, and I certainly understand the family and Sid doing that. My job is to persuade them to stop. Do you realize that the state of New York has spent tens of millions of dollars prosecuting Donald Trump on ridiculous stuff? And then they turn around and tell the people of New York they can't afford to hire any more police. Do you realize that? Talk about corruption. My God. All right, let's sum this up. So a 31-year-old police officer, Jonathan Diller, who went to the high school that my son went to, same high school, St. Mary's, okay? He leaves a one-year-old son. Put that baby's picture back up, okay? And this boy will never, ever know his father. And the reason this happened is that New York City and state politicians allow violent criminals to roam the streets of the city and state, armed and dangerous, time after time after time. No contrition, never saying they're sorry, and they never change. And who backs them up? The New York Times ran the funeral story of the dead police officer on page 21. Newsday, the newspaper of Long Island, gave it two pages and neglected to put in the soundbite I played you from Stephanie Diller chastising New York's politicians. Newsday couldn't put that in there. Both the Times and Newsday and the New York Daily News are far left operations. They allow the politicians, they encourage the progressives to do the insane things they do. All of these people, if you want to use a cliche, have blood on their hands. All of them. Because it goes on and on and on and on. And that's the memo. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. Now, there was another situation yesterday in New York City. There was Easter Mass in St. Patrick's Cathedral, a big day there. The Cardinal said the Mass, and it was invaded by pro-Hamas demonstrators who went right into the church and interrupted the service. All right? Right in there, screaming and yelling their pro-Hamas stuff. This is New York City. Three arrests. Matthew Menzies, 31, John Rosendahl, Gregory Schwedak. Okay, all three of them are radical leftists. Do you get a theme here? You see the theme? Excuse me. Get the theme? All right, now they're way beyond progressives. These people are communists and socialists. That's who's behind the pro-Hamas demonstrations. They don't believe in God. They don't, you know, this is just a stunt. So they were arrested, these three. And there were others that weren't arrested. Nothing will happen to them. Charged with misdemeanors. Nothing. They won't be prosecuted. Just like the cop killer, 19 times wasn't prosecuted. 19. New York. Joining us now from Seaford, New York, which is an adjacent suburb to Massapequa, former Congressman Peter King. He served 14 terms in the House of Representatives, and he's a good man. I sat with Congressman King and his wife at the funeral. All right, Congressman, I'll let you go. I mean, am I saying anything that's wrong or out of context or anything like that?
Well, the only possible disagreement I would have with you is the chance of converting people like Letitia James. I've been at a number of police funerals with her. I don't see it having any impact on her whatsoever. I don't think she should be treated rudely. I would prefer she not show up. But that's the only disagreement I would have, is I'm not certain that this powers of conversion would work on Letitia James.
All right. Now, why do you think the Attorney General of New York will not enforce the law or protect innocent people? Why?
It's something I try to figure out over the years. I think people from the progressive left somehow feel that their understanding of the law or their comprehension of what the law should be supersedes everything else. I mean, you take a person like Alvin Bragg, he even has more direct jurisdiction, or the district attorneys have more jurisdiction even than the attorney general, and they just refuse to, for instance, on things like shoplifting and fare beating, Alvin Bragg just won't even prosecute them, won't even entertain those cases. And then it works its way up. It creates a mood. It's a feeling that certain people, primarily the African-American community, has been discriminated against over the years, and therefore they're entitled to an extra advantage, if you will, that the law shouldn't be enforced strictly against them. I think that's a form of bias, not just against the white community, but against the Black community itself. But it's, Bill, I can't, nothing in my upbringing of people I grew up with could act this way or could think this way, that you should somehow allow certain classes of people to violate the law, not realizing that in doing that, it encourages more breaking of the law, and that's going to cause innocent people to suffer. And in most cases, now in this case, it was a white police officer, but most of these cases where the violence comes out, it's against other African Americans and minorities carried out by their own.
The poor community takes it the worst. So you believe it's racial politics, both Alvin Bragg, the DA of Manhattan, and the Attorney General, Letitia Grahams, are Black. Kathy Hochul, the governor, is white. Kathy Hochul has the power of executive order, could overturn a lot of this bail stuff herself, that the progressives in Albany. And, it's shocking that people in Buffalo and Rochester and places outside of New York City vote these progressive people in, but it's a veto-proof legislature now. There are so many progressives in Albany that they want not to punish criminals, but Hochul has some power to do something, yet does nothing. How do you think, what do you think of her?
That is harder for me to figure out. I was telling people, including John Katzmatidis, when I'm on his show, when Kathy Hochul was about to come in, that she was going to be a mainstream moderate governor. When I was chairman of the Homeland Security Committee in Congress, and she was in Congress about a year and a half, she was assigned to my committee. Her husband was a leading prosecutor of terrorists upstate New York. She was a very normal person to deal with. She was not involved at all with the radical left wing of a party down there. She actually had an A-plus rating, an A rating from the NRA. But on any number of issues, she was definitely mainstream. And yet when she went to Albany or became the governor, as lieutenant governor, she didn't really have much to say. But when she became governor, she went further to the left than Andrew Cuomo. Whether or not she wasn't ready for the job, whether she was overtaken by it, whether the people around her are that way, but it's no excuse. I mean, listen, you've never been in elective office. If you became the governor tomorrow, you wouldn't go racing over to the left. So, I mean, she had experience in a local government, experience in Washington, and she was, lieutenant governor for 5 years. She should have had some idea what to do, but instead, she's gone so far to the left. And not just the policies, but the whole tone is so far to the left. Not just her position on abortion, but the how much she expresses it with such vehemence, with such a left-wing bias.
I can tell you that these people that we are talking about put their own self-interest above the safety of the citizens. The progressive money runs Albany. They've got it. It's not going to change unless, and here's my last question. I think this might be a turning point, that people in New York, all right, the liberal people who keep voting for these loons might step back now and say, you know what? It's enough. It's enough. Do you believe that's possible?
I do think it's possible. And, you and I saw the feeling on the ground. I think I've been in a number of cops funerals over the years, but it's a number of these killings. The reaction to this one of Detective Dilla, to me, was so profound, so extensive. I think maybe the burden is on us now. People like us, people who have access to the media, people who have any connection to politics and government, who have a voice, have a forum, have a platform to channel and harness that, to let people know that, yes, it is terrible. We can't afford just to feel sorry and forget about it in a few weeks. We have to take action on it.
That's
this,
right,
to me, is a...
Well, I'm going to do it. I've done it my whole career, and I'm not being self-aggrandizing now, but I have, and everybody knows it, and I will continue to do it. But I am now angry at the people who I know who continue to support the structure, the power structure that is allowing people to die every day. It's not just the police officers, all right? It's ordinary people getting pushed in front of trains. And you know, look, Congressman, when you got a guy who is arrested on a gun charge after two stretches in a state penitentiary and 19 other arrests, and he's out on the street again, you have now reached the breaking point where there is no justice system in New York. It does not exist anymore. And I'm like you, I believe it's racial politics. I think that's what's driving it. But in my own industry, I know the New York Times, which is big behind this, will never change. You could stack the bodies up to the ceiling and it will never change. That's how fanatical these people are. Last word.
No, they are fanatical. And example of how it changed in New York just a few years ago when the giant football player, Paxio Barros, shot himself in the foot with his own gun. Nobody else was hurt except him. He got time upstate in jail just for having that the illegal possession of that gun. Now you have people with criminal records who get arrested with a gun and they're still out in the street a year later. We have to stop it, Bill. This is out of control. And so many more innocent people are going to be killed, not just cops. And that's terrible. My father was a cop. I hate to see any cop even shot, wounded anyway. But also, it's going to be rank and file people living in the communities where it ends up no one is safe anywhere.
All right, Congressman, thanks very much. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
Now to more media coverage. So Donald Trump showed up at the wake for Detective Diller. He was there about a half an hour. He met privately with the widow, and then he met with the whole family. And the coverage of him says it all. So ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, five television news operations, spent a combined 12 minutes, 18 seconds on Trump's visit to the funeral home. 12 minutes, 18 seconds. On the same day, President Biden was at Radio City Music Hall with Bill Clinton and Barack Obama raising money. Biden could not have been bothered to call the Diller family. He did not call them. Just like he did not call the family in Georgia of Lake and Riley, who was killed by an illegal immigrant, migrant, whatever you want to call him. Okay. Biden can't be bothered with that. That's beneath him. I'm sorry if that sounds harsh, but it's true. All right. So his Radio City Music Hall thing, the five combined, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, spent 44 minutes, 35 seconds. So 12 minutes on Trump, 45 minutes on Biden. Which story do you think is more important? Which story affects more lives? A fundraiser or this story? They're never going to change. Now, NBC, which is the absolute worst now, they've descended into the worst. They described Trump's visit to the funeral home this way, quote, "The former president has also repeatedly made unsubstantiated claims of undocumented migrants beating up police officers and driving up the crime rate in New York City to record highs." Notice the words unsubstantiated claims. All right. NBC put this out on its website at 1:27, March 27th. 7 hours later, it had to retract it. Okay, so take that down, please. 7 hours later, NBC News had to retract that report. All right, this is after all the Ronna McDaniel stuff. All right, here's the retraction. Quote, "A previous version of this article mischaracterized Trump's comments about migrants assaulting police officers. An incident in New York was recorded on video. It was not an unsubstantiated claim," unquote. It was 7 hours after. So they're admitting their own operation lied, because you had to lie. You had to know. Everybody knows about the migrant attack on police officers in Times Square. Now, it doesn't get any worse for NBC News. They're through. Done. You watch them, fine. You have the freedom to watch anything you want. But number one, you're wasting your time. And number two, you are enabling a dishonest progressive operation. That's what you are doing. Awful. Awful, awful, awful. All right. Biden had the Easter egg roll at the White House today, 10:25. Kids were there. I'm glad. I mean, we need a little lightness. So I'm glad Easter Bunny was there. The kids had a good time. I think Biden knows it was Easter, but I'm not sure. But that's okay. That's a cheap shot. I know. I'm sorry. But on Easter Sunday, the Archbishop of Washington, D.C., Wilton Cardinal Gregory, he's a cardinal, but they call him the Archbishop. Okay. He went on CBS program Face the Nation and was asked about Biden's Catholicism. Go.
But in the case of the president, do you get a sense that his regular attendance and adherence to the faith resonates with American Catholics?
I would say that he's very sincere about his faith, but like a number of Catholics, he picks and chooses dimensions of the faith to highlight while ignoring or even contradicting other parts. There is a phrase that we have used in the past, a cafeteria Catholic. You choose that which is attractive and dismiss that which is challenging.
With all due respect to the cardinal, there's a lot more than that. Joe Biden parades his Catholicism. Fine, I do that sometimes too. No problem with that. But he promotes abortion without any limits. He doesn't accept it. He promotes it. So there is wiggle room for politicians to say, as Governor Mario Cuomo of New York once did, look, I'm against abortion, but I can't impose my beliefs on other Americans. That's a legitimate point of view. Biden didn't do that. Biden promotes abortion with no limits. Now, that is directly, you cannot, there's no room here against the basic tenet of his self-described religion, that all life is sacred. Period. More than 60% of Americans say the country is heading in the wrong direction. This is no surprise. Center Square Voters Voice Poll. Republican 42, Democrat 45, right direction 29, wrong direction 62. Don't out and drain. As I said, Trump should be up by 20. But he's not. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas going to be impeached. All right. And that comes April 10th. Two charges. Will not enforce U.S. immigration law and has made false statements to Congress. So it's going to the Senate. Senator Schumer will get it. He'll get rid of it as fast as he can. He won't be convicted. And then finally, on this front, Joe Biden is not going to be impeached. It's too much danger for the Republican Party to do it, and they don't have any central evidence. I mean, many people believe that Joe Biden benefited financially, but there's no, beyond a reasonable doubt, evidence at this point. So it now April, vote is in November, not going to be impeachment. You heard it here. I'm not going to get into this transgender day visibility thing on Easter Sunday. I think it was ridiculous. If they wanted to have some transgender visibility announcement, they should have done it today after the Holy Week was over. Now, is there a linkage between transgender and religion? Not really, but some conservative religious people will be appalled. The Biden administration just went and ran with this on Easter Sunday. Oh, come on. It's awful. Just really smart life. All right, so on May 5th, 2022, almost 2 years ago, the stock market was getting hammered. And I said to you, because I cannot give you direct financial advice or medical advice for you concierge members. You can't ask me what to do if you have leprosy, because I don't know. And I can't tell you what to do with your money. But I told you 2 years ago that I was not selling into the stock market declining. Well, now the stock market is just about at an all-time high. And gold is at an all-time high, $2,264 an ounce of gold, all-time high. Okay. What am I doing now? I sold some stock today. Stocks that I didn't really perform real well, but they got to the breaking point, and I said, you know, I'm getting out. Because what goes up, as you know, comes down. So it's rolling now to market, but anything in the world happens. Anything happens, it's down 2,000 points. So I have stops on my individual stocks. That means if I have Apple, Apple sells for this amount of money a share. I tell my broker, when it hits this amount of money, you automatically sell. That is a stop. And I'm putting them on a lot of them because I don't think the market is just going to roar and roar and roar. I think there's going to be some pullbacks. Now, if there's a stock that I want to keep forever, then I don't do that on a stock. And there are about five or six I have legacy stocks. Finally, a lot of people, me included, have mutual funds. We're a basket of stocks that are managed by various operations. And I buy them through my stock broker at Morgan Stanley. I use them. They're not better than Merrill Lynch or the other one, but my friends work there and I use my friends. Okay, you should consult with your financial advisor about those funds. Okay, what you can do to protect the gains that you have. That's a consultation you should have within the next 2 weeks. Smart life. Money is power. We all work hard. Most of us work hard for our money. We want to be very smart with it. Stay in history, April 1st, 1984. Marvin Gaye shot dead by his own father, Marvin Gaye Sr., in Los Angeles. So Marvin Gaye was one of the biggest stars, pop music stars in the world. Roll the tape. It took me by surprise. Okay, one of the most talented pop stars of all time, shot dead by his father, and very mysterious. He was killed one day before his 45th birthday, Marvin Gaye. So his father never really explained why he did this. He said he was afraid of his son. Marvin Gaye was a drug-involved person. Okay? His autopsy showed that. His father said, I was afraid of him, so I shot him. Now, his father at the time had a brain tumor, and the courts were very lenient. He got 6 years suspended sentence. 2 years later, Marvin Gaye Sr. died. Okay? So this was a terrible thing, never really defined, but that happened 40 years ago today. I got some mail, and then I've got some final thoughts about good and evil, which we obviously are covering today extensively. We will be right back. All right, let's go to the mail. We got Vicky. Says, what is it going to take to wake up the American people? I don't know. I'm dealing with my own state now, New York, and I think that this is a turning point, but I don't know. I don't know how any human being, and I shouldn't say that, I don't know how about any person at this point in history could vote for progressives. I don't. They're doing so much damage. I put myself in Germany, 1933, you had to see what the Nazi Party was doing. You had to. It was there for everybody to see. Yet 40% of the German people voted for it.
What?
Now, I'm not comparing the progressive movement to the Nazi movement. That's not a valid comparison. I'm trying to tell you that there are some people who are so dense, you can't get through. But it's just staggering to me. Sharon, a bigger question is why Ronna McDaniel would take the position on NBC for money. Why do you think she took the position? They offered her a lot of money, and she wanted to get her message out. I would have done the same thing. Bill McClure, Phoenix, Arizona. Bill, I heard you talk about your killing books for some time now. My wife found me a copy of Killing Patton. It just started. It's incredible. You know, at this point, I use the word history a lot. You really have to know your history. That's why I wrote Confronting the Presidents down in September. You really got to know how far away we are drifting from our original spirit in traditional America. How far away a country's veering from it. Mark Marco, all right, North Babylon, New York. I'm a Republican, plan on supporting and voting for Trump, and I agree that Biden is a terrible president. However, if we want to be fair and balanced, we must recognize that the stock market has done outstanding under Biden. Trump were president during the soaring market the last 2 years, you'd be taking full credit. Okay. I have no beef for that at all. But you've got to temper that with most people can't afford to buy stocks. And their expenses to live are up 20%. That's the fact. Jack. Mary Flagel. I'm on Idaho. I appreciate hearing the no spin news every day. Yours, a voice of reason, O'Reilly, in a world of chaos. I wanted you to know we are listening out here. I know it's all over the world now with YouTube. We're on YouTube and everywhere. So, and I appreciate it. You know, I'm hoping that we get stronger and stronger and stronger. John Sponsia, Brookfield, Wisconsin. Bill, your final thought has today hit home. I taught my children at an early age that depending on others will many times end in disappointment. Unfortunately, sometimes it's unavoidable. Biggest example is the airlines. Yeah, you got to depend on the airlines, and they're going to hose you not most of the time, but much of the time. But if it's a lifestyle of you depending on somebody, you know, if you are codependent, not good. Marshall Walsh, Greensburg, Pennsylvania. I saved the movie Killing Jesus to watch on Easter. It was amazing. I highly recommend it. Found myself watching from a historical perspective. Yeah, that's what we did. There are people who run around going, oh, Jesus never existed. Crazy. Judy Weatherford, Plainview, Texas. Thank you for speaking the truth, O'Reilly. You are welcome, Judy. Thank you for watching and listening. We really appreciate it. All right. So go to BillO'Reilly.com store. Pick up the Self-Reliance mugs. Give them as gifts, especially younger people. In the future, if you are not self-reliant, you're going to get badly, badly hurt. Need to be independent and think about life. Not have somebody else tell you what to do and what to think. Self-reliance. Also, pre-order Confronting the Presidents out September 10th. This book is very important. You will love it. We will not charge you until we ship, and you will get it first. Word of the day, do not be agog when writing to me, A-G-O-G. Bill, no, I was going to give that. It's, you can write to me at bill@billoreilly.com. That easy? bill@billoreilly.com. Okay, so we hope you do. Don't be agog. Back with good and evil in a moment. Okay, final thought. There are three categories of human being. Good people, bad people, misguided people. So at the beginning I was talking about my job is to try to persuade the misguided people to stop being misguided. Sometimes I'm successful. I started that when I was a high school teacher. And I could reach some of them. I reached some of them, turned them around. Not all. Because people believe what they want to believe. That's it. But if you present to the misguided people a narrative that makes sense, they'll resist at first, but then the resistance gets lower and lower and lower as more data comes in. That's my job. It's why I do this. I don't need the money. I could be riding around on a golf court, as I said, at the Villages, playing pickleball. But I am trying to persuade people all over the world that there is a right way to go about things. Okay. The bad people, you're not going to make them. And this is the criminal justice system collapsing. They think there's some magic wand going to get these people off fentanyl and heroin. Most of them don't want to get off it. And they're willing to hurt you and everybody else to get the money to buy the narcotics. These are bad people. Oh, they have a disease. Oh, no, no. They're hurting other people for their own whatever it is. There's no excuse. They're bad. And in that, and most of them are going to stay bad. It's about 15% of the population. Most of the people on this earth are misguided. Good people, when you find one, boy, embrace that person. I say 35% are good, 15 hardcore bad, and 50 misguided. And by misguided, they don't want to get involved. They don't want to right the wrong. They don't want to stand up. They're afraid. Fear is tremendous. They don't want to say, I might get in trouble. Somebody might come after me. You know, those are the misguided people. We're trying to get those to merge with the 35% of good people. So where are you? Where are you in that mosaic? Be honest. Most people rationalize their behavior. I mean, Governor Hochul and Biden and all, every day they go home and they just rationalize their behavior. They see it. They can't not see it. Oh, no, 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 I'm doing a good thing for the migrants, or I'm doing a good thing because it's a racist system and I'm tearing it down and those white cops are bad. And, you know, they rationalize. Every human being rationalizes to some extent, but some people just their whole life is a rationalization, all right? But if you buy into that, if you allow that, then you're bad. You're bad. That's not an excuse, okay? You got to step back and get actively pursue and enhance good. And by being good, it's a very simple equation. You love your neighbor as yourself. You help other people. You don't put them in danger. But I tell you what, I could have Kathy Hochul watch this whole broadcast, and I don't believe Governor Hochul would change a scintilla of her profile. I hope I'm wrong. Thank you for watching and listening to the No Spin News. We'll see you tomorrow. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.